Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No. Enemies close, Roderick. Ten toes down, I'll be free into the end. Crib outside the city.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
Stop opinion. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion Messi is better than me, but in my mind I'm better than him.
I do it again.
Me, everything is on me, gon' back it up.
Matter what?
Told you I'ma do me, why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck, country heart. I'ma cop a farm and go
you
act up. Lot of scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep me real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. I'ma buy a car, hard car, car, take it, tat it up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low.
Then we lay low.
Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up.
Yes, guys, I'm sorry. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. Welcome to Rodri Giggs on Football. And we are here to talk all things football. I've had to switch to my phone very quickly because my computer just went kaput. But that's fine. You know, on the fly. Oh, no. It's all good, mate.
I've gone a bit Blair Witch here.
What's that, mate?
Gone a bit Blair Witch.
Is it?
Blair Witch Project. What's it called? Is it Blair Witch?
Yeah, Blair Witch Project, isn't it? I'll sort it out now. It's don't know what it's doing. But it's all good, mate. I'm joined by ex-Salford City, ex-FC United, ex-Bangor City, and a range of other clubs. Mr. Rodri Giggs, how are you, my friend? You good?
And future Super Six 2024 champion. Yeah, I'm good, mate.
I'm glad to hear that, mate. I ain't rising to no bait this evening, so it's all
good. No bait to be rising.
Got loads to talk about, mate. So.
Carry on.
So much to talk about that I almost feel like I haven't got room and space to discuss other things, which is unfortunate. But
we've got a lot of space to fit between me and you on that league. A lot of space.
I forgot it this week, mate. Midweek was a shambles. Just completely forgot.
Absolutely, but carry on.
I felt sorry for you, mate, because I battered you so badly the last two seasons that it almost felt humiliating for you. But there we go. With the Charity League, of course, we've got to do the updates no matter how badly it's gone for me this week. But starting with the Fantasy Premier League, we had both James Breen and ex-Cardiff City legend Colin Griffith come joint top this week. And in the Super Six, we've had two rounds since the last show. Carl Roach has won both of them. But how are myself and Rodri getting on? I hear you scream. The Super Six, I scored a massive 6 points this week because I forgot the midweek one, leaving me on 281, whereas Rodri scored a whopping 19, 8 and an 11, me leaving him on 322 points, which is a 41-point gap, which is only 2 weeks for me, really, isn't it? So, easy peasy. And then fantasy.
When have you ever got 20 points in the Super Six? Ever?
Many times.
Yeah. When?
But the Fantasy Premier League, I'm making a bit of a comeback, sort of. You beat me by 4 points this week. So I'm just going to, with that, I'm just going to look at the weekly scores and ignore the 168 point gap in the Fantasy League. But as we know, I kind of.
What is the phrase? Mind a gap.
Mind a gap.
Yeah. I won't glow. I'm not that type. But,
you know. Yeah, of course. That's all I've had is text messages and GIFs. But there we go. It's all fun and games. We have got loads to talk about. And later on, we're going to rank our top 10 worst Premier League signings of all time. And if we can't agree on any, then we'll leave it to the people to pick one from our list. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Before we get to that excitement, mate, there's lots to discuss. Obviously, we've had the FA Cup this week. We've had Rashford's. He did an article and a statement. Then he did an interview. I saw a post which kind of made me think, and I want to put this question to you. David Beckham, right? This post, I'm paraphrasing it, this post, but David Beckham was hated by everyone except Man United fans at one point. He had effigies of him being hung, songs about his wife, all sorts of horrific shit. Like, to the point where when he played for England, he was getting, when he got fouled, England fans were cheering. That's how bad it was for him. And do you know what he did? He got his head down, kept his mouth shut, worked hard, and did his talking on the football pitch. And the person who put this post up basically said, like, over the last whatever many seasons, five seasons, when Rashford has had these dips, how many of these kind of statements and stories and responses have we had instead of him doing his talking on the pitch? Do you agree with that? Or do you think, like, where do you stand on it?
Yeah, it's just to keep his mouth shut and do his chat on the pitch, because he's not playing very well, is he? With the David Beckham thing, you know, he had very good characters around him. He had a great manager who backed him, who told him, and he had fans that every time he got the ball, they cheered, they just drowned out the booze. So he was loved by Man United fans, and he respected him. And yeah, he never affected him, never affected him one bit. And he had a couple of people around him. No carrots in the dressing room, and the grip hold and say what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or even say work hard on the pitch. Because he's just not good enough. He's just not. No matter what fucking shit he comes out with, it's just not good enough. You're not working. I don't think I've ever seen Marcus Rashford come off a pitch like just dead from the exhaustion. No, he's...
Yeah, and I think in particular this season has been like
it's irritating,
obviously,
because I don't care about the money, I don't care about all the other stuff. That's all bollocks. He's got that from being a good footballer and producing, but no, he's not producing in the minute, and it's just his work rate for me. The quality will come because he's got quality. But if you're not working hard for your team, we can see it. No matter what you say, what people say, or what you say. I can see it with my own eyes. You're not working hard enough. You're lazy, and it's like it's beyond, it's beneath you. Sprinting and running after the ball, you can't get hold of the ball. You don't create chances for yourself. You don't create chances for anyone else. You know, should I go on? It's just not good enough. Yes, I had a good season last year, but you know as well as I do, as well as he does. When you're playing for Manchester United, it's week in, week out, year in, year out. Not, oh, I'll have one good year and then I'll have another bad 2 years. And, oh, contract's coming up. Yeah, that sort me head out. It's just not good enough. It's boring.
It's an interesting one, mate, because there's no doubt he has got the ability and the quality. But you, no matter what he says... And what anyone says, what Ten Hag says, what anyone tells me, I don't care anything of like what people say, I can see with my own eyes his body language this season and his work rate this season hasn't been there, and his body language has been off. He looks like he's
what I want to know, who put him up to that flipping little video? Who made him do that? What a donut. Mate, shut your mouth and work hard on the pitch.
And do you know what?
Everything else will figure itself out like it usually does. Otherwise, you're going to get a target on your back because you're on a lot of money. People are starving out here, and you're just not working hard enough for a chunk of money that people don't get in a lifetime, and you're getting in a week. So just work harder. That's all I ask, that people ask for you. And you wear that Manchester United, it's a prideful place, Manchester United. You want to leave, go somewhere else, you're only going downhill. Manchester United is arguably the biggest club in the world, and it's his hometown club, and he's just not working out. Another Man United players are saying it now, coming out and saying it publicly. No, we don't care about the jewellery or the cars. That's media nonsense. It's on the pitch. What are you doing on the pitch? It's not good enough. You know, he's 26. He's not a young kid.
Yeah, and I think the other side of it as well is, like, we can all see it, and I'm the same boat as you, mate. I don't really give a shit about the football, and I think they get so much shit. Like, there was a thing about him having a parking ticket the other day. Like, but you're right. There's people out there starving. There's people working 50 hours a week and more for very, very little money just to put food on the table or pay the bills. And then you see him kind of sulking and wandering about, and it's like, come on, mate. You can't deny that his body language has been off. And I thought it was interesting. Alan Shearer pointed out his body language in the FA Cup tie, and he even tried to protect him a little bit by saying, oh, he was making the runs and the ball didn't come, and now his body language has changed.
But so sometimes they don't come. Keep doing it. Not, oh, his ball's not come to me. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not running. Forget it. I'm taking my ball on. What are we talking about here? Professional football. So the ball that comes to him, so he has a big fucking win. This is what I'm talking about, that these United players are mentally weak, all of them. Mostly all of them. Mentally weak.
Do you know, the other thing as well, mate, was, and what is so weird about this statement and this video, right, is that before Højlund got injured, I thought Rashford put together probably two or three performances off the left where his body language looked better, his performance looked better, he worked harder, and he was getting the rewards. He picked up a couple of goals, he got a couple of assists. He was on the left, Garnacho on the right, Højlund through the middle, and they looked settled. But needs must.
Oh, you've got to do a job for your team because your centre forward's out and you're the only recognisable centre forward that's played there before and done it before. And exactly, so do a fucking job for us. Don't whinge and moan and mope about. I don't want to play you.
Imagine Rooney sulked every time he got changed position to accommodate someone else. Like, you think of where Rooney played, left, central, right, midfield, wherever, mate. Like,
A lot of people did it. A lot of players done it over the years for Manchester United. That's what you do for your team. It's not all about you. It's T-E-A-M, team. That's what's important first, team. You come after that.
So, question. I've seen a lot of comments. People are not really buying it at all. And a lot of people saying, it's not just this season. Yes, he had a good season last year, but the season before they nearly sold him to PSG because he was shite. Yes, the season before that, I think he scored 20 goals. Like, he's been very hit and
miss. Benny McCarthy gone? Where's the super striker coach from last year when he was firing all these goals? Where's he now? And he's got 5 goals. Mm. Kid scored 5 goals in one game a couple of days ago. Yeah. And he scored 5 goals in a whole season. Mate, come on. He's better than that. Where's Benny gone? I want to know where Benny McCarthy's gone, because he was, you know, he was full in the limelight last year when he's flying him in. Where's he now? Yeah. What's going on now, Benny?
So, just lastly on Rashford, if PSG come in with 80 million in the summer, you selling?
I'd really, really think about it. because you need to get these players out. They need to get these old players that are still there out. Get them out. Lindelof.
When you say that, do you mean the mentality, like the weak mentally ones, the ones that crumble?
Yeah, yeah.
So let's very quickly run through then. I'm just going to try and name the ones who've been there a while. Luke Shaw, sell or keep?
No, I'd keep him.
Lindelof?
Out, gone. Get him. Gone.
Maguire?
You look at that goal, Lindelof, the second goal for Fulham, and yeah. You look where Lindelof is. He doesn't move. He's in the left wing where we've got the throw in. The ball goes over his head, and instead of running back, he just stands there watching it. And then when the ball starts getting about 10 yards from the box, he thinks, oh shit, I better start running back.
Okay. Maguire?
Yeah.
Keep?
Yeah, no, go. You get money for Maguire now because he's done well.
Yeah, yeah.
Played well, but you still get rid.
He's still not good enough for Manchester United.
No, still get rid. There's 60 mil.
Yeah, Varane.
Can't get rid of them all, so you know, I'll keep Varane for another year.
Then you've got on the right, you've got Wan-Bissaka and Dalot.
Wan-Bissaka gone.
But you'd keep Dalot? He's been good this year, actually.
Yeah.
And then in the midfield, you've got McTominay.
I'd see what the offers are worth. If you get a good offer. Because, yeah.
The reason why I think there's a chance they keep McTominay is he can do a range of roles and he's just like that Phil Neville type.
Yeah, I would keep him. I would keep McTominay for what he's done this year alone.
Obviously, Mainu, I'm assuming you'd keep. Casemiro?
Keep for another year.
Okay. Bruno?
It's difficult. I would not sell him, but I would take the captaincy off him because he's not a captain. He's a terrible captain.
Then you've got Rashford.
No, I don't know. It's another one up in the air.
Obviously, Garnacho, I'm assuming you'd keep.
Yeah.
Same with Hoyland.
Hoyland, keep.
Obviously, Martial's out of contract. I'm assuming
Gone.
Interesting.
Johnny Evans, gone.
See, I'd keep Johnny Evans for another year, me mate.
Fuck off, man. Fuck off.
He's been all right. He's been one of the best players. All right.
Yeah, great. No, I'd get rid of him. You don't need a player that's just been relegated from the Premier League.
No.
You need to be going forward, mate, not backwards. Thanks, Johnny. You've done really well, but no thanks.
Fair enough, mate. And then lastly, on Man United, did you see the bit at the end with the Forest player choking Bruno?
Yeah.
Like, and then you look back, I thought it was much, 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 much more aggressive, nasty, whatever you want to call it.
Didn't even get a yellow card for it.
Didn't even get it. And he went to VAR, mate. And it was much more aggressive than the Casemiro one. And I think this is the problem, which all fans have got with VAR, is the consistency is non-existent. It's a real, real problem, mate, because I thought, like, the video, when the video looks worse than the still image, there's an issue.
When you've got to punch the guy's hand off your throat,
yeah,
then that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like, yeah, you could see. And do you know what, mate? I know this seems like a bit of an exaggeration, but you know why I think he punches his arm away, like in the way he does? It's because he's grabbing him by the windpipe with his fingers.
Yeah.
And he kind of leaves it and he doesn't react because he knows what he's trying to do. He's trying to get a reaction, isn't he? To get him said he wants him to put his head forward or whatever, and then he'll fall over like he's been headbutted. But, but like, you know, it's the oldest trick in the game, isn't it? But where he's squeezing his windpipe with his fingertips, he's kind of like, he's left it for a minute and nothing's, you know, he hasn't let go. And he's had to punch his hand away. And to not see a yellow card for that, mate, at least. Like, it's a red for me because I've seen Casemiro get sent off for, you know, doing that. It's mental, mate. But this is the issue with VAR, mate, the consistency. Paul Pogba, mate. So Paul Pogba has been banned for 4 years after failing a drugs test and then failing the second test as well. He made a statement saying he's going to appeal it, fight it. He's never taken anything knowingly. And seemingly, a lot of his peers are on his side. There was a lot of former teammates and people like this sticking up for him in his in the comment section of his statement and stuff like that. I watched a video of Pogba today, like clips of his time at United, like when he came back. And you know what, mate? I don't think he's as bad as people made out. Like, I don't think he was as bad as people made out for United. There was points when he was in the Mourinho season, when he was captain, before Mourinho stripped him and all that. Like, he was pretty flipping good for United. And they were flying at times. But, as is with Mourinho, he falls out with everyone. And I think the big issue for Pogba is he couldn't stay fit to get that quality week in, week out for United. In terms of wasted talent, mate, like his natural ability and his talent compared to some of the players we've seen over the years who haven't quite achieved what they should have. Obviously, he's a World Cup winner. So, yeah, he's achieved a great deal in the game. But has he, like, is he up there with maybe some of these kind of wasted talents who didn't achieve what they could have? Because I think he could have been that good.
He could have been. He was still pretty good. He won the World Cup. It was a big spearhead of that team. You remember that team talk in the final, you see him. So, yeah, it's just could have been like world class where, you know, he was world class on his day. Like I say, he wasn't consistent enough, especially at Manchester United. He'd have his moments, but yeah.
With his ability, shouldn't he have been in the same conversation as your Messi's and your Ronaldo's? And
yeah, should have been, but well, he's not. Size shitty computer has gone again. And what was he doing?
There's obviously, he's very, very clearly saying the side of it's sorted.
What?
When the legal side sorted, he said he'll.
Right, now you keep. I couldn't hear the start, then you dip it out.
He's intimating that there's more to it. It's 4 years. Sorry, mate. So effectively, he says there's more to it. There's a legal side, and he can't talk about it. But he is going to fight it and etc. But they give a 4-year ban for people. That's like the maximum you can get is 4 years for a positive test, which would intimate that they think he's done it intentionally. He's used performance enhancing drugs to cheat or to recover from an injury. Like, where do you sort of stand with it?
I don't know the ins and details, you know. I've not really read into it, to be totally honest. But, yeah, my thoughts, it'll probably, they've appealed. It's a hefty ban. My thoughts that the ban would probably be reduced. And then, they'll both be happy a couple of years or, you know, instead of 4 years, which is a long time. But, you know. I don't know the details, mate, so...
Yeah.
It is very, very, very stupid to do it at this time of his life. You know, mature, father, experienced, to make that stupid mistake would be very, very silly. So I find it hard to believe that he's done it, but we'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah, it'd be crazy, mate. Like, he's 30 years old. It's effectively his career over if the ban stands. So, obviously, you know, it'll be an...
No, not necessarily. He's only 4 years and he's 30. He's 34.
It's a long time to not play, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, if he keeps himself fit, keeps himself relatively fit, he can still play for another 4 years in America, Saudi Arabia.
Yes, it's a very interesting one, mate. I'm going to switch over to my phone, mate, in a minute. But just before I do, talk to me a little bit about the FA Cup draw. Obviously, United got Liverpool. United also have Man City on the weekend. It could be a brutal few weeks for United fans, or it could be also you know, some of the best weeks. Where do you see it going?
I don't see it going well. We're a totally different team without players that we've got missing. Totally different team. So with Shaw out and with Hoyland, we have got zero chance on Sunday. Zero chance. Especially maybe Rashford turns up and has a game of his life. It wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I'm not looking forward to it at all.
Yeah, I've seen a few of my United mates have kind of intimated that they're going to go and play golf or they're going to...
I always play golf on Sunday anyway. It's Winter League, so but I'm finished by half four, so I'll be out to watch it. So,
is there any way that Ten Hag can come up with like a master plan? So against Liverpool,
he can come up with a plan, but can the players implicate it?
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? What side? Very quite
interesting. Not implicate it, implement it. So, yes, it might surprise us, but no, can't see it, especially after watching him against Luton.
Yeah, here's a quick one for you then. If you're the manager, right, and Hoyland is out, and Shaw is out, and Martinez is out, right? So they're the only three main players which are out. Tell me, like, a side that you would play to try and win the game and negate City's qualities. Maybe something a bit different from the norm. What would you come up with? Maybe McTominay up front or a youngster. Like, what would you think that he could do differently to try and...
Well, he could do what you just said. He could do his normal team. Well, say his normal team, whatever back four he goes with. But then he could obviously go with Mainoo, Casemiro, Bruno, Rashford on the left, Garnacho on the right, and McTominay as a false nine. So, yeah, he could do that. McTominay's played centre forward in his early age. So, he could do that. But I'm for Rashford and Garnacho to allow them to be a bit higher. But, it's still.
In that game that United, you know the game last year when United came back to win 2-1 towards the end of the season?
Yeah.
United actually looked at them most dangerous when Bruno was the furthest central player forward and Rashford...
They could put McTominay. They could switch him, yeah. Bruno,
Rashford and Garnacho were the wide players and they just hit him on the break in the wide areas.
Yeah, do that as well, Bruno could be the false nine and McTominay in there. McTominay can get your goals, but Bruno's more busy. He can run about more, getting better areas, better on the ball. So probably Bruno would be the better choice because, you know, he's better on the ball, even in difficult areas where McTominay's not.
No. the other side of it is like Kyle Walker and the City fullbacks. They do push forward. So if you've got Garnacho and you've got Rashford in the wide area...
Well, they won't be able to do that, then, would they? They won't be able to push forward. But if they did, then it's leaving them short. Because if they've got four in the middle there, I'm sure John Stones will be in there as well. So, yeah, it could leave 2-on-2 sometimes. You know, it could be a flipping basketball match. But if it is, you know, I think I'd be betting on Manchester City, so... Be a tight affair, I should imagine. You'd hope a nice tight affair, and if United catch on the break, that's the only way they're going to get it, really.
Yeah. Isn't it mad though how much United miss Kobbie Mainoo? Do you think it's absolutely incredible? Like,
well, they missed Casemiro when he went off in the week. So, them two together, they complement each other, but. Yeah, when one of them leaves, they look isolated. So, but
I thought, you mentioned Amrabat not being up to it. I thought he second half when he got to grips with the pace of the game and stuff. I thought he actually was a big part of United controlling the game a bit more, where he was pushing into midfield and his passing was better. I think they'll play him at fullback until Shaw is better, until Shaw's fit. unless he plays that young lad. I can't imagine that he's going to chuck a 16, 17-year-old in for his debut against Man City. So it's either going to be Lindelof or Amrabat, you know, on the one side and Dalot on the other side. Personally, I'd go with Amrabat simply because he pushes in and gives you that extra midfielder to kind of try and make it more difficult for City to play through. But look, City are very, very good, and Man United have not been consistent whatsoever. And more games than not, United have been so open. Like you say, like you about like a basketball.
I mean, you can't do that tomorrow, so they won't be. Well, no.
If they concede an average of 17 shots per game, United, if you concede 17 shots against City on Sunday, it will be a cricket score. Like, they have to do something different. So, it is what it is, I suppose, but I'm interested. Right, before we do our top 10 worst Premier League signings of all time, Eric Dyer has triggered a deal that will end his Spurs career, and he is now going to sign for Bayern Munich on a perfect, permanent deal. Harry Kane's out here doing favours for his mates, isn't he?
Oh.
I can't believe... Just, I'm shocked by it in some ways because I think Eric Dyer has been quite poor the last couple of seasons.
But it's not the Premier League, was it?
No, it's true. It's very true. It's not the same.
But he's still a...
Technically good footballer, isn't he?
Technically a Premier League footballer, so...
Yeah, I suppose he's good on the ball, isn't he?
England international, played in World Cups, Euros, experienced. So, sure he can, you know, play at Bayern Munich where, you know, they're mostly got the ball, doesn't really have to do much.
Yeah, and I think as well, he's probably been signed, as I mentioned, like that Phil Neville character earlier about McTominay.
Can play midfield, can play centre.
Yeah, he's probably been signed as that utility player who can plug a few holes, I suppose. And you do need those squad players, mate, ultimately. You know, you need those. Can't live without them, as they say. Right. Before we do our... Well, which way round do you want to do it? Do you want to do the Super 6 predictions first, or do you want to do the top 10 worst signings of all time?
Whichever one you want. Super 6 is a sore subject in a minute for you, so do you want to just get out of the way for you?
Yeah, go on. We'll do our predictions. Have you got the games up?
Yeah.
Go on then.
First game is Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool.
Oh, that'll be 3. Is it at Forest?
Yeah.
3-1 to Liverpool.
I've gone 2-1 Liverpool.
Okay.
Spurs at Crystal Palace. No, Crystal Palace at Spurs.
2-1 to Spurs.
I've gone 3-1 Spurs. Chelsea at Brentford.
Oof. Oh. 2-1 Chelsea.
I've gone 3-2 Chelsea.
Interesting.
Luton at home to Aston Villa. I've gone 2-1 Luton.
1-1.
That's one way you can get your points back. You should have gone Villa, but never mind. I'm sure you'll change it. Burnley at home to Bournemouth.
2-1 to Bournemouth.
I've got 2-1 as well. Manchester City at home to the mighty Manchester United.
3-1 City.
I've gone 3-1 City as well. So I'm going to change that to 4-1.
Oof.
No, in fact, I'm going to change to 2-1. Resubmit. Boom. Done.
Right then.
That gives you a chance. I'll give you a chance there. I've been a bit sloppy there. But, you know, I'm feeling generous because it's, what is it, 41 points? Yeah, so I'm being very generous there.
All right, well, what can I say? What a gentleman.
We've got to keep it close for the viewers. It's still going to be like a it's just like a romping, isn't it?
Well, it's been like that for 2 seasons, mate, isn't it? So it doesn't make no difference.
You know what I mean? I never really got involved with it. It was just like in and out. But now I'm fully engaged.
Yeah, that's it. You haven't been trying before, have you? And now you are.
You're miles away, mate. You're miles away.
Miles. So, we'll start at 10 and we'll work our way down to the worst, because obviously we might not agree on all of them. So, number 10 on my list is Fernando Torres, but from Liverpool
to Chelsea.
Yeah. I just think, like, it didn't work out. I know he did win a couple of trophies there, but he was never, ever the same player that he was at Liverpool, you know, for that amount of money and the rest of it, all things considered. Yeah, just Fernando Torres to Chelsea is my number 10. Have you got any which you'd like to offer as a better thing?
My number 10.
So many to choose from, isn't there?
Yeah. I'm going to go Angel Di Maria.
Yeah. That's a fair shout.
Yeah.
Angel Di Maria. He was fire, though, wasn't he, for 3 months. And then...
Yeah, but 3 months. He paid 70 million quid for him.
They did get their money back for him, though, didn't they? So I suppose there's that.
Yeah.
And then, so number 9... I've gone with Danny Drinkwater from Leicester to Chelsea, because that move basically ruined his career. Like, being honest, he's never been the same. Chelsea got nothing out of him. It was, I just think it's, yeah, poor. And that's my number 9. I think it speaks for itself, in all honesty. It ruined his career, mate. Really.
Well, I'm going to go with Chelsea, but I'm going to go... I'm torn between Scott Parker or Steve Sidwell.
Sidwell's a good shout, man. Fucking hell. Yeah, mate, that's a shout. That is Sidwell. That was a poor one. There's so many to choose from, mate. Here's one for you then. What about another Chelsea one? What about that keeper they signed from Atletico Bilbao? It was like a record fee, wasn't it? 71.8
Kepa.
Million. Kepa. Yeah, Kepa, and he refused to come off in a cup final when the manager tried to sub him. Like, regardless of whether you get on with the manager tells you you're coming off. You're coming off, innit? Like, you can't be refusing to come off in a cup final, no less.
Absolutely, but...
I thought... Hang on. No, I don't know. Wouldn't the ref have said, no, you've got to go off? Like, if the manager says you're coming off and your number comes up...
No. He says I'm not going off, then... So I want to stay on, Red.
He's a shout, man. So I think I'd have it. He'll be my number 8, mate, because he was freaking awful for that. Like, that much money as well. Definitely having him in there. Was absolutely poor, to say the least. So who you got number 8?
Number 8.
So you're doing yours on the fly, aren't you? So you got to have a think.
No, I'm not doing it on the fly. I'm just thinking.
Is Anthony on your list?
No, because I still think he could come good, but it's not top 10 work. No, because I still think he could come good, because he's got to understand this kid. He's only 22. Mm. He's come to a foreign country. He's been accused of rape or whatever he got accused of. He had a good start, but then it's tailed. He's quick, but he just needs to, I think he could come good. He could, but then he could be sold. But
see some people saying he should play left back on Saturday.
Yeah, I was thinking to say that, but he's too erratic. Just too many touches.
If he's going to play. If he plays for United, I would much rather see him play as a left winger.
And if they do, they could put him as a left wing back, but that just puts the team out of kilter. That there's no forwards. Who's the two forwards going to be? Yeah, so that's not going to happen. But
So number 8, you got.
I'm going to go Robinho
to City.
Yeah,
that was their first
shocking
signing, wasn't
he? Yeah, it was shocking though. Big dog.
But that was the first one, wasn't it? When the owners took over, that was like their marquee deadline day sign.
Yeah, he was minging.
Absolutely shockingly bad. Number seven. Ooh, so this one was a difficult one. Initially, I had Andrei Shevchenko in there for Milan to Chelsea for 40 million. But I've actually gone with Nicolas Pepe from Lille to Arsenal. Came in 72 million.
Yeah, he's mine. That's my next one.
Rated as like this, you know, future world superstar. And I think he had one good game against United, and that was about it. He was absolutely
was my next one.
Absolutely shocking. So there we are. We agree on that one. Number six. Now we're getting into the nitty gritty. Romelu Lukaku into Milan to Chelsea for £97.5 million. 3 weeks into being back, did an interview and said, I hate this club and I don't want to be back. Was overweight, unfit, bad attitude, 100 million. And they're still paying his wages now while he's in wherever he is, Italy. Absolutely unreal. So that's my number seven.
Mine was Mario Balotelli. No. Actually, it wasn't. It was Mario Balotelli's next. Andy Carroll to Liverpool for £35 million.
Shout, that is. Shout. I've got another Liverpool one there. But that is an absolute shout, that one, mate. Andy Carroll. He's never a Liverpool standard player, is he? Like, he's never, like, top level. So, that's a good shout, mate. Well, we're on number six, mate. Number six or number five?
Number five.
There's a couple there. It's another Chelsea one. Wesley Fofana from Leicester to Chelsea for 75 million. I think he's played like a handful of games. I know he's had injuries and stuff, but you can't have it at all, mate. Like, really poor. That's my number five. Who's your number five, did you say? I can't remember who you just said. No.
Who did I say?
Not Andy Carroll. You said someone else before it, and I can't remember who.
Mario Balotelli.
Oh, yeah. Talk me through that one then, mate, because I would argue some Man City fans will probably argue.
No. It's Liverpool. Was he on loan for Liverpool?
Yeah, not sure. I think he went on loan, did he?
I know he played for Liverpool, because I know Steven Gerrard talked about him. Steven talked about it last week in an interview with Jamie Carragher, an old one.
Did he? Am I just drawing a blank there?
He played for Liverpool.
He did play for Liverpool, you're right. Was it alone, was it? Yeah.
Right, forget that one then. Benteke for Liverpool.
Yeah, that was a poor one as well. No, he did. He signed for Liverpool, mate. He was there for two seasons, only played 16 games, scored one goal.
There you go. Liverpool.
That's a shout, mate. That is. Absolutely.
Liverpool. Why the hell would you buy him?
Yeah, he's a proper nightmare. Like, in terms.
Listen, good play on his day, but really? Do you really want to put up with all that crap?
Yeah, he's just like a constant headache, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. So, number four. Now we're getting really into like the real ones. So I thought about having Varane in there. But I decided, I thought he did enough at United. He was pretty terrible at Chelsea, but I've had a few Chelsea signings in my list already.
Did win a couple of leagues, Varane, so no, I've got that.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
I had Bebe was one which I considered as well to United. But ultimately, I settled on Ricky Alvarez, who signed from Inter Milan to Sunderland. Was quite a big name in at the time. He initially signed on loan for him for a 900 grand fee. didn't do a great deal. And then had a, but he had like a clause obligating him to buy it. They spent big money on him. He played 13 games, got injured, never really played again, was absolutely stunk the place up, basically. Who's your number four?
I'm going to go Casemiro.
Wow. Yeah, talk me through that then. Is he
just for the money and the age, I think it was a panic buy. He's not going to be here long. He's not going to, yeah. So
okay.
You'd think he'd be more experienced. So, yeah, I'm going to go Casemiro.
Interest. That's really interesting.
And we've got to start throwing some United players in here. So
yeah, I got a couple of United players coming now in the top three. Number three, Harry Maguire for 80 million.
Yeah.
They could have signed him.
But then the first two years, he played well. And then all that stuff happened in Greece. And then from that, he just went downhill and never recovered. And then last four or five months, he's played pretty well when he's come back in. So, but the price, that would be up there with me as well in the top three. So I'm gonna go that was three as well. So I'm gonna go with that.
Never a United player, never a United captain, never worth 80 million, and they just got their pants pulled down in all facets of getting your pants pulled down. So number two, going to pull one out from the history books now, mate, for you. This one was between Dennis Wise and Adrian Mutu. But I went with Adrian Mutu, who signed for Chelsea for big money back in 2003, stunk the place up, and then got banned for being banging to his coke. And just an absolute shambles. This may as well be a Chelsea list, mate. It's absolutely shocking the amount of money they've wasted. But yeah, Mutu was right up there for me. Absolute joke of signing.
Well, this one's a Chelsea one as well. These next two are Chelsea, in fact. Cucurella.
Oh, from Wigan.
From Brighton.
Brighton. Do you think he's going to come good?
No.
Okay.
No.
So was it Harry Maguire, Mutu? And then my number one is Alexis Sanchez from Arsenal to Manchester United. In my opinion, is the worst possible signing. Like, I don't know what went on behind the scenes, but it was absolutely shambolic. The amount of money that he was on. And we're talking transfers, by the way, not like worst players, because you know you've got people like Taibbi United. Like if you do worst players that have been signed, and Bebe and people like this, but like in terms of the amount of money that they were paying him per week, the amount of money that like his agent got and everything, and within week, I think it was the story was like a week after he joined. He changed his mind and he was trying to get it reversed. And they were still paying him when he was at Inter Milan years later. Just absolute shambles. Never was the same player that he was at Arsenal when he came to United. So as far as I'm concerned, worst transfer.
Brutal. What's the keys of a Chelsea?
Oh, Mudrić.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, he was... very, very highly considered for my top 10.
Then he's on par with Antony, because people were screaming, what about Antony?
Yeah, he's young.
Either one of them could be number one because of the price tag. That's all. They're about 20, 30 million pounds. We go, oh, we'll give them a chance. Because it's 90 million pounds, we're like, yeah, you know what's going on?
And that's like if United had signed Harry Maguire for 15 million, he's not on my list.
Mm.
But they didn't. It was 80 million, and we're talking transfers. So I agree with you. And with Mudryk, I got to say, like, there was this big thing, wasn't it, between Arsenal and Chelsea. He went to have a look at Arsenal, and it was like this big sort of hullabaloo, like, oh, Chelsea have beaten them to Mudryk, and he has just stunk the place up time and time again. But I agree with you. There must be something there that all these clubs were after him, and he's young. So there's an opportunity for him to go. And
the problem is, though, that young getting... I just think if I got... If I, when I was 21, 22, if I was getting 300 grand a week, 250 grand a week, what? Oh, fucking hell. I'd be causing a lot. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Only because you have a football, like, I should be anyway.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that come with that. So maybe, you know, the maturity, they kind of settle down. There's a lot of shit that's gone on in different countries, and also need to get settled. That might take time. Mm-hmm. We don't put this into perspective or think about it. So just hopefully, you know, they do come good, because it's a lot of money, but, and they've got a lot of potential. They've both got speed, so.
Yeah, it's a massive asset, isn't it? That pace and skill. Do you know what? Yesterday, I recorded a podcast with Roger Gibbons, former Cardiff City captain. He started off at Spurs and played for Norwich. And after his career was over, one of his jobs was to oversee apprenticeships of YTS programs across a whole host of clubs. And then I asked him the question, because we were talking about different things that clubs implement when they, you know, they look at signing a young player, particularly if they bring boys from a different area. Like he said, he used an example, Yeovil signed three lads from QPR who were like 16, 17. On the football pitch, they were like unbelievable. But he said off the pitch, the Yeovil hadn't done their due diligence and they were involved in gangs and stuff like that. And he said, when it came to training and doing the education and stuff, which you do as part of an apprenticeship and the academy, they just wouldn't, they were uncontrollable, like, you know. And I do wonder, like, for these young players, if you're 20 and you're getting all this money and you've had the same mates from when you were like 16, 17, they're all going out on a piss and doing all this stuff that you shouldn't be doing. And you've got all that money, so you're paying for your mates.
No, it's more easy when you're from. Imagine being in a different country.
Yeah,
you haven't got a lot of people to do. You need to find things to. There's a lot of things you can do with that money and get yourself into mischief. And so it's different. It's different when you've got your family, your friends. You've got there, so you think you'd have some good people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're going to have bad people around you as well, and you're going to attract bad people. But if you're in a different country, you know, it's a different language.
It's going to be hard, mate, isn't it?
It's a lot harder, yeah. So,
do you know what I think about
that? Don't put things into perspective sometimes.
Yeah.
No, he's lived in a different country before. He's lived in Amsterdam, but he's probably might have settled there. And but, you know, who knows?
The media in the UK is a whole different level to anywhere else in the world, I reckon. Mm. Like, you know, if Anthony, say, or goes out in Manchester, he's just going to get mithered all the time. Like,
yeah,
just people, if it's fans asking for photos or if it's the media just following him, there's no rest from it.
Yeah.
And I just think it's got to be so difficult as a young player. And like, if I was getting like 200-300 grand a week and I was young like that, like, I just remember, like, I'd have been paying for my mates to come, you know, I'd be paying for my mates to do everything and we'd be doing whatever. And, like, if I was going to, you know, if I was moving to England from Russia, say, or whatever, I'd probably take a couple of them with me, like, you know.
Yeah.
Have them hold up with me in the house, or rent my house, or, like, whatever, because they got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. So yeah, why wouldn't you bring your mates with you? And then, if your mates are not working because you're paying for everything, what are they going to do? They're just going to sit around drinking, whatever, and you're getting bad habits. And I'm like, sometimes I think we don't think about that side of things for young players particularly. But mate, I mean, you've openly spoken about like some of the stuff which you got up to when you were younger, which kind of derailed your football career and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, if you had added, say you had come through one of the academies and you'd ended up in the first team squad, and like they do now, so you're just training with the first team squad and you're getting 10 grand a week or something. Like, could you imagine the mischief you'd have got up to?
Oh, yeah. It'd been chaos, mate. It'd been chaos. Absolute chaos.
But, right, mate, give me a prediction for Cardiff City versus Bristol tomorrow lunchtime.
Where's it at?
At Bristol.
At Bristol. 2-1. The Bluebirds. Let's go that.
Go on. I'm going to go... I'll go 2-1 Cardiff City as well. Ruben Corwell, screamer. Some good UFC on this week, mate. Makhachev's fighting.
Yeah, I've seen that fight. That no, yeah, even talked about yesterday. It's gonna be just looking forward. Well, I'm not looking forward to just see what happens Sunday, like that.
Yeah, through the fingers, mate. It's gonna be brutal.
Looking forward to stretching my lead in Super Six, stretching my lead in fantasy football, and stretching on and just showing who the men is and who the boys are.
It's all good, my friend. All good. We'll do a different top 10 list next week, mate. We'll do them each week. We'll come up with a different subject, and then whether it's top 10 goals in the Premier League or just something, just to have a discussion towards the end of the
season. Give me some more notice instead of like,
on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let you know earlier in the week. You mean like yesterday when you told me you couldn't do the show like 5 to 8,
Tuesday. You got told about that, remember? If you forget, remember. Yeah, Tuesday. I didn't. That's Tuesday. Don't listen to me voice notes. You just thought it was doing me heckling you.
I did, yeah. I thought it was you just giving me shit about a Super Six.
Important information saying I can't make Thursday, I can do Friday, because I'm coming out of retirement and getting in the Soccer League 5-a-side.
How was it?
Not played for 2 years. I don't know how many goals I got. I just lost count. But we won. Easy win.
Legs sore?
Yeah, groin's a bit. Yeah.
Bit pulley.
Yeah. Well, we are like a bit of redox bath now, be sweet.
Nice. Right. As always, mate, a pleasure. Take it easy.
In a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.